These are literally lifelong friends.
This is the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind, and coming to you from Riverside, California, podcasting since 2004, I'm Steve Webb, your OG Godcaster. This is the podcast that comes to you every day, and we are reading the entire Bible together in a year. Thank you for being here. Thanks for inviting me to be a part of your day. The website is lifespringmedia.com. It's unofficial last-minute shopping panic day. When I've got plenty of time, officially becomes, well, maybe next year. This is also Poetry Thursday. We're going to read Job 17 and 18. After my comments on the reading today, we'll have On This Date in Church History. And I'll tell you why yesterday's show was not a rewind hybrid, but a complete rewind. I actually had a show partially prepared. We were supposed to have a prayer segment, and I was supposed to do an episode of Verses We Missed, but something happened. I'll tell you what that was. Let's begin. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've called us around your word today to hear it, to read it, and hopefully, Lord, to absorb it. I pray, God, that you would teach us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Job chapter 17. My spirit is broken. My days are extinguished. A graveyard awaits me. Surely mockers surround me, and my eyes must gaze at their rebellion. Make arrangements. Put up security for me. Who else will be my sponsor? You have closed their minds to understanding. Therefore, you will not honor them. If a man informs on his friends for a price, the eyes of his children will fail. He has made me an object of scorn to the people. I have become a man people spit at. My eyes have grown dim from grief, and my whole body has become but a shadow. The upright are appalled at this, and the innocent are roused against the godless. Yet the righteous man will hold to his way, and the one whose hands are clean will grow stronger. But come back and try again, all of you. I will not find a wise man among you. My days have slipped by. My plans have been ruined, even the things dear to my heart. They turned night into day and made light seem near in the face of darkness. If I await Sheol as my home, spread out my bed in darkness, and say to corruption, you are my father, and to the maggot, my mother or my sister. Where then is my hope? Who can see any hope for me? Will it go down to the gates of Sheol, or will we descend together to the dust? Job chapter 18. Then Bildad the Shuhite responded, how long will you hunt for words? Show understanding, and then we can talk. Why are we regarded as beasts, as stupid in your eyes? O you who tear yourself in your anger, for your sake is the earth to be abandoned, or the rock to be moved from its place? Indeed, the light of the wicked goes out, and the flame of his fire gives no light. The light in his tent is darkened, and his lamp goes out above him. His vigorous stride is shortened, and his own scheme brings him down. For he is thrown into the net by his own feet, and he steps on the webbing. A snare seizes him by the heel, and a trap snaps shut on him. A noose for him is hidden in the ground, and a trap for him on the path. All around terrors frighten him and harry him at every step. His strength is famished, and calamity is ready at his side. His skin is devoured by disease. The firstborn of death devours his limbs. He is torn from the security of his tent, and they march him before the king of terrors. There dwells in his tent nothing of his. Brimstone is scattered on his habitation. His roots are dried below, and his branches cut off above. Memory of him perishes from the earth, and he has no name abroad. He is driven from light into darkness, and chased from the inhabited world. He has no offspring or posterity among his people, nor any survivor where he sojourned. Those in the west are appalled at his fate, and those in the east are seized with horror. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him who does not know God.
Chapter 17 begins with Job confessing that his spirit is broken. Why? Because his so-called friends have become mockers in his eyes, and he can't get away from them. They've made him an object of scorn. Allow me to remind you how they initially came to him in Job chapter 2, verses 11 and 13. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept. And each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. By all appearances, these three men loved Job. At the very minimum, they thought very highly of him. And now they've become, according to Job, mockers. To mock is to tease or laugh at in a scornful or contemptuous manner. What a heartbreaking picture this is. I have two very close friends that I've known since I was a boy. I've told you about Dell. I first met him in junior high school, and we became best friends in high school. The other one's name is Mark. We met when I was about 9 and he was 10. We were on our city swim team together. These are literally lifelong friends. We've been through all the highs and lows of life together. Our weddings, the births of our kids. I prayed for them when they had life-threatening sicknesses. And they prayed with Leanne and me when our son Stephen almost died. And now we're all growing old together with everything that brings. I cannot begin to think about the utterly crushing heartbreak I'd feel if I were in Job's shoes and Dell and Mark turned on me as Job's friends did to him. The aloneness, the betrayal, the pain. But Job doesn't do what they want him to do. They've told him that he needs to confess his sin. But Job knows that he's done nothing to deserve what's befallen him. So in verse 9, Job says that upright men will be appalled at the treatment he's received from his friends, whom he now calls godless. He goes on to say that he will continue to hold on to his determination to do what is right, and that because his hands are clean from sin, he will gain strength. Beloved, when you're persecuted, hang on. Isaiah 40, verse 31 tells us, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." You know, we cannot go through life without times where the world seems heavy, bleak, and dark. But like Job, we have to hang on. If you are in a right relationship with God, you have to know that He is with you, and He'll hold you up. He'll see you through. The night may be dark, but there is a promise of the morning, and God will not let you down. He's faithful, and He never changes. I'd love to hear what you have to say. You can comment at comment.lifespringmedia.com. You can email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com, or you can go to the show notes page for this very episode. I read every comment, and I'll read some of your comments on the show. I do want to hear from you. Tomorrow, our reading is Isaiah 45 through 50. On today's LifeSpring Why Christmas Show, Day 18, we look at Christmas traditions from around the world, from Madagascar to Spain to Russia, all over the place. Take a listen at LifespringMedia.com or your podcast app. On this date in church history, December 18th, today we've got just one event to talk about because the man we're remembering today was one of the most influential worship leaders in Christian history, Charles Wesley, born on this date in 1707. He's best remembered as the hymn writer of the Methodist movement, but that title hardly captures his impact. Over the course of his life, he wrote more than 6,000 hymns, many of them rich with scripture and theology. If you've sung "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," "Come Thou Long-Expected Jesus," "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing," or "Jesus, Lover of My Soul," you have been shaped by Charles Wesley, whether you realized it or not. He had a gift for taking deep doctrine and turning it into words ordinary believers could sing and remember. While his brother John Wesley was the organizer and preacher of Methodism, Charles gave the movement its voice. His hymns taught people what Christians believe, how they pray, and how they hope. In an age when many couldn't read, these songs became theology set to music, sermons that stayed with people long after the preacher was gone. Even today, Wesley's hymns continue to anchor Advent and Christmas worship around the world. On LifeSpring Hymn Stories, I talked about two of Charles Wesley's hymns, Come Thou Long-Expected Jesus on episode number 56, and Jesus, Lover of My Soul on episode 60. I'll have links in the show notes if you'd like to listen to them. So as we prepare our hearts for Christmas, Charles Wesley reminds us that worship is more than music. It's theology on our lips, hope in our voices, and the gospel carried forward in song.
LifespringMedia.com/support.
So yesterday started off as a normal Tuesday. The lovely Lady Leanne and I usually work our windshield repair business together until the afternoon, and then we come home and I do the podcast production. But yesterday morning, and by that I mean yesterday as I'm recording this on Wednesday evening, so Tuesday morning, Leanne told me that the vision in her left eye was bothering her. She said that there was a sort of darkness in the upper left field of vision, and she felt pressure in the eye too. So, long story short, after we finished work at about 2:30, we went to the urgent care. After waiting for about an hour, we finally got to go see a doctor who didn't seem to think there was anything wrong with her. But she's had a bit of history with this eye, and Leanne pretty much insisted that she needed to see an ophthalmologist. The doc said he'll tell you the same thing, and then I chimed in to reinforce Leanne's desire to see the specialist. And the doc sort of ho-hummed and said, well, okay, if you insist. So he kind of trudged off, you know, with his head down. He sort of seemed to be put out that we didn't, you know, take his word as gospel. So we went upstairs to wait another hour or so to see an ophthalmologist. When he finally came into the room after the nurse had put drops in her eyes to dilate her pupils so that he'd be able to look inside the eyes, he asked questions first, listened very carefully to see what Leanne told him that she was experiencing, and he asked several questions, and then he, you know, got that really, have you ever been to an ophthalmologist where they sit you down there and you put your chin up on that thing, and he shines a really, really bright light into your eye, and he kind of, you know, scopes it out. There's a couple of instruments he looks into your eye with as that light is shining in there. Did your mom tell you, my mom used to tell me, don't look directly into the flashlight, it'll hurt your eyes. Well, these lights that the ophthalmologists use are way brighter than flashlights we used to have when I was a kid. But anyway, they looked in there for quite some time, had a couple of different scopes that he used, and then he asked, does anyone else in your family have glaucoma? And that's how he told us that Leanne has glaucoma. And no one else in her family has had it, as far as she or her mother knows. So the doc talked to us for several minutes about the disease, and unfortunately, the vision in her eye will not get better. But with proper treatment, we're hopeful that it won't get worse. And in case you don't know, glaucoma is a disease that is caused by increased pressure in the eye. There's more than one cause, but the bottom line is that if it's left untreated, the pressure can damage the optic nerve. It pinches the optic nerve. And the optic nerve is what transmits the information from the eye to the brain. So if the brain doesn't get the information, you don't have vision. So, after we left the doctor's office, we had to go to the pharmacy to get the special eye drops that Leanne will have to use to try to control the pressure in her eyes, and she'll most likely have to use this the rest of her life. Now, by the time we got home, there really wasn't enough time to do another show. I mean, yes, there was, but to be totally honest, I wanted to spend the rest of the evening just being with my wife. Between this life-changing news and the waiting for the results of the biopsy on her thyroid, I've been feeling like the lovely Lady Leanne should be high on my list of priorities. I hope you agree. And both of us would very much appreciate your prayers. We will have our normal time of prayer on Sunday's show, Lord willing.
LifeSpring Family Hotline, 951-732-8511.
And of course, that's where you can text me or leave a voicemail. You can also comment on the show, leave any kind of comment you want, ideas, suggestions, things you like, things you don't like, what I said today, whatever. You can leave those comments at comment.lifespringmedia.com or email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or use the Lifespring Family Hotline. I will read or play your comments on the show. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.
All the programs in the Lifespring Media family are made possible by the generous gifts of people like you.